Today, as we continue our series through Revelation, today we come to chapter 15. As we continue through our journey through this book, chapter 15, which happens to be the shortest chapter in the entire book, only 8 verses, but 8 verses packed with meaning for our lives. As God continues to reveal more of His glory for us, to us, and His plan, not only for the days to come, but even for our living now. Let's hear the word of the Lord, Revelation 15, beginning verse 1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, 7 angels with the 7 last plagues. Last, because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image, and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. And out of the temple came the 7 angels with the 7 plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen, and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the 4 living creatures gave to the 7 angels 7 golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no one could enter the temple until the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were completed. Here is the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, for the revelation of your glory through this wonderful book. And again, Lord, we look to you, that through your Holy Spirit, you will give us wisdom and understanding to help us understand and see you as you have revealed yourself to us in this vision that you gave to John. Lord, give us a glimpse of your glory this morning through your word, that through your Holy Spirit, we can understand your purpose and will for our life. And Lord, that we can be drawn closer to you. So we thank you for revealing yourself to us in a special way, that we may know not only what is yet to come, but how we can live and give you praise even now. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been in a car and you're driving through a tunnel? Like when I would go out to Western Pennsylvania to visit my folks, or when we were on the bus trip, went out to Ohio, and go through the turnpike, there's several tunnels that you have to drive through. And when you're driving down through those tunnels and you get halfway through and you begin to wonder, especially if it's a long tunnel, are you going to get to the other side? And especially you get halfway in and there's a lot of traffic, a lot of congestion, you're looking for that light, that little bit of a glimmer of hope at the end of the tunnel. Especially if you have claustrophobia and you say, boy, I can't wait to get out of here. I tell you, the worst time I've ever gone through is gone into New York City in the Lincoln Tunnel. And if you've ever gone through the Lincoln Tunnel with all that traffic, and one time we were going through there and the traffic stopped and we were stuck in the Lincoln Tunnel for a while. And believe me, as we were sitting there, I was looking for that light at the end of the tunnel. How about you? Hoping that we'd get to the other side and get out of there and back into the daylight again, and we can spread, we made it. Maybe your tunnel looks like that, or if you've driven through one, might even look more like that, and sometimes that hole at the end looks so small. And it seems like we're never gonna get out of this darkness and this tunnel we're in. You know, sometimes you drive through that tunnel and you think that the light at the end of the tunnel, you realize it's an oncoming train. And have you ever had that where you're the darkness and you're going through those hard times in life and you think you see hope and then you realize, huh, you get hit again with another round. But our scripture this morning, as we get a fresh glimpse of the Lord in Revelation in this part of chapter 15, gives us hope. And I found this acrostic for hope, meaning hang on because pain ends. And the darkness of the tunnel will someday come out the other side because a man named Michael Jofferson said, "If the light at the end of the tunnel was your life, it's a tunnel that's only temporary." And see, the light at the end of the tunnel of eternal life that we're looking forward to is the life ahead of us. And the tunnel of this earth, the adversities, the sorrow, the troubles that we go through now, is only temporary. Someday we'll come out of the tunnel into the brightness of the eternal life that is waiting for us. And won't that be a glorious day? Someday, either when Jesus returns or we go to meet him in death, and we come out of the other end of that tunnel into the glorious light that is awaiting us. And that's what this chapter is about. Because chapter 15 is about hope. It's the shortest chapter in the book of Revelation, and it comes at the end of a long, lengthy parenthesis or pause in the action that we've been in. A long interlude that started, if you remember, all the way back in chapter 10, when we had the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet blown. And then there was a pause in the action in the time of the days of the tribulation as the Lord revealed to John in these chapters 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 more about details about the tribulation time and the personalities. It was then that we were introduced to the unholy Trinity, if you remember, the dragon, Satan, the Antichrist, the political leader who was yet to arise in the scene, and the false prophet who will get all the people of the world to worship him. And the more details of the 7 years of tribulation time occur. We now get to the end of that in chapter 15. And chapter 15 stands as a prelude to the final bowl judgments yet to be released in chapter 16 and on. And so we've seen as we've gone through this book, after the rapture of the church in chapter 4, where John was raptured up into heaven, the events were going to take place in the tribulation. And from that time, we saw the opening of the seals. We saw the trumpet judgments. And then we had that interlude, and that's where we are now. The interlude's about ready to end as the final judgments are about ready to be unleashed. And in chapter 15, John gives us a glimpse of the future glory as he kind of goes ahead to the end, when everything is finalized and finished, and gives us that hope of the light at the end of the tunnel. Because this journey through Revelation, we've seen a lot of depressing stuff. We've seen about the horrors of the tribulation, and we've seen the demonic forces that are going to be unleashed in the earth, and it's a lot. And we get that light. We need that hope. And chapter 15 is that hope. And three things that we'll see that will occur when we come out of that tunnel and we come into the light of eternity. The three things that we will discover and that we can rejoice in. We can rejoice this morning and we can have hope because in that final day, God's wrath will be finished. Last week we saw at that final harvest, when the final harvest was collected and the Lord took to himself in the rapture his own, and they were raptured into eternal life, and we saw that the grapes were thrown into the winepress of his fury. But in that final day, we can rejoice because his wrath will be finished and completed, and it will be done. He says here in verse 1, "I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, and seven angels with the seven last plagues." Last, he says, because with them God's wrath is completed. And that final day, and John getting a picture of it. That look forward to the day that God's wrath and judgment will be done, because the final act will be performed. He says here that the sign he saw in heaven was seven angels coming out with seven bowls in their hand. The word sign here, when he says, I see another sign, it looks all the way back to chapter 12, verse 1. If you remember back in chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I saw a sign in heaven that was great and glorious, where the dragon was cast out of heaven. And it was looking forward to that final day when Satan would be destroyed and when he was cast down. And he said, the other sign I see is these angels with the seven last bowls. He said, a sign refers to a symbol that is to teach us something significant. In this case, it's seven angels with seven bowls. We've seen the number seven many times in Revelation. Seven means what? Perfection, completeness. And so he said, this last sign is going to bring everything to completion. That when this is done and these bowls are poured out in judgment, all will be completed and it will be ready for Jesus to return to set up his kingdom. Great because of the emerging power of these judgments. When he said this sign was great, great because of the power that these judgments are going to unleash on the earth, and marvelous because with them is going to bring God's final judgment against all evil. Marvelous because when they are poured out, all evil will be done with. And God will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. These seven last plagues, because they will complete God's wrath. And they are called against them, and because they were set apart, which sets them apart from all the others. Called last because it sets them apart from the scrolls, the seals, and the trumpets which were before them. When God performs that final act of judgment yet to occur, things will be done. Wrath will be finished, and the goal will be accomplished, because he said here, God's wrath will be completed. That word completed means to reach his goal, to reach its goal, to be done. And in that day, when God pours out that final judgment on earth, and we're going to look at those next week, during the last part of those 7 years of tribulation, those last 3.5 years, God completing his judgment on earth, and the goal will be accomplished, and the goal is that his enemies will be defeated. And the day and the rule of the Antichrist, as terrible as it will be, as we've seen it described for us, it's a short-lived reign. It's only going to be 7 years. And as bad as evil is on the earth now, and we saw that in the days of tribulation, it's going to get worse, we can have hope, because we know when the final days of judgment come, all the enemies of God, Christ, will be defeated. The ultimate enemy, Satan himself, will be thrown into that lake of fire forever, with no hope ever of escape for him. And it will be completed. It will bring it to done. Evil and God's enemies will be defeated once and for all. That gives us hope. Yes, we're in the tunnel now, but the light at the end of the tunnel is coming. God's enemies will be defeated, and sin will be destroyed. Sin that came into the garden and broke our relationship with God, that has hurt all relationships ever since, that has hurt so much, brought so much pain and suffering and misery and anguish into the world and into our own lives. And even now, after believers, when we come to trust Christ, still struggle with those times of sin in our own life and beset us and trip us up. We can have hope to know that someday, when the day of final judgment comes, all sin will be destroyed forever. Don't you look forward to that day? It will be done, be completed, it will be over. The new heaven and new earth to come, there will no longer be any more sin or sorrow or suffering. We'll get to that when we get to the end of the book. But it will be done and completed. There is light at the end of the tunnel. So hold on, have hope, believe, look up, and look to Jesus, and keep pressing through Because there's one thing about a tunnel. As we keep going forward, even though it's dark, we get closer and closer to the light at the end, right? And each day, we're getting closer and closer to the light at the end of that tunnel. And have hope and keep looking up to Him. Because the goal will be accomplished. The final act will be done. God's wrath will be finished. The second thing we see that we can have encouragement and hope in this morning is in that final day, God's name will be praised. And glory will be given to Him just as He calls us to praise Him now. And He calls us to worship Him. Because God's name will be praised as John looks ahead to what yet is yet to occur in that final day when the last judgments come and are poured out on the earth. With it brings praise. Because He said, I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing before the sea were those who had been victorious over the beast and His image and over the number of His name. And they were given harps given to them by God, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. God's name will be praised because the victory has been won. And John saw a day when all the saints will be standing by that crystal sea in victory, singing and proclaiming their victory before the Lord of their redemption. The sea of glass was found before us one other time in Revelation chapter 4, if you remember. Revelation 4 verse 6, when John was first caught up into heaven. And he saw God on the throne, and in front of the throne was that sea of glass that looked like glass. And that glass reminded us, represented God's glory and His majesty. It kind of functioned as a mirror to reflect God's glory and majesty. And here, the saints standing in heaven, someday we will stand with all of the saints beside that sea, giving glory and praise to our God that the victory has been won. And that we have overcome. It says mixed with fire, though. And this time the sea is glass is mixed with fire. That mixed with fire suggests that judgment is yet to come. That God is going to unleash that final judgment yet to occur. And the word here, victorious, when it says they stood before victorious over the beast. That word victorious is the same word that is translated overcome. That is used at the end of each of the seven letters to the churches. And if you remember back when we began this, as the Lord spoke to each member, each church individually, He said to them, to him that overcomes, I will give the right to eat of the tree of life. To him that overcomes, I will give the right to stand in my presence. To him that overcomes, and He gave to each of them a promise. It's the same word here, talking about that day when we have that final victory standing before Him. The victory has been won. We have that hope that someday we will stand before Christ in white, victorious, rejoicing in His presence for all eternity. Victorious over the beast. And the beast here, in this case, the political pressure representing that beast who was reigning, but for us, the political pressure to reject Christ. And the false prophet, the religious pressure, as we looked at, as we saw the false prophet and the deception is going to come with him. And the number of His name, the economic pressure. But the victory has been won through Jesus. And that is our hope. We can praise Him. We also give Him praise because deliverance has come. And He says, as they stood before the throne of God rejoicing, they sang two songs. And the victorious saints gathered, and the other side stand before the sea. And they praise God for their salvation. And they sing two songs, the song of Moses. And the song of Moses is deliverance from our suffering. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, we have the story of the song of Moses. It's where we see it recorded here. And this song was sung by the nation of Israel after they had been in slavery. And they had been enslaved for 400 years, as you know the story. And God had sent Moses to the Pharaoh to release the people. And he kept bringing them. And Pharaoh was a tyrant. And were keeping the people enslaved. And God sent Moses to say, let my people go. And he refused. So God sent plague after plague, 10 of them, on Egypt, as you know the story. Finally, after the blood was shed through the Passover lamb, God brought them out in victory. And they began to cross. They began to come to freedom till they hit the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, they were backed up with the sea in front of them and the Egyptian army becoming fastly approaching them. And God again provided a way of deliverance. As you know the story, he parted the sea and they came through on the other side. Then as the Egyptian army chased them, the waters came back over them. And then with the bodies of the dead Egyptians floating in the sea, they sang the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. And they said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord has become my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And he said, the enemy boasted, I will pursue and overtake them. I will divide the spoils and gorge myself on them. But I draw my sword and I will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. Verse 11, it says, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who was like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. And by the power of your arm, you will be. They will be as still as stone. The song of Moses is the song of deliverance, representing deliverance from suffering. Here as they were released from their suffering of slavery, and they were brought through, and as the Pharaoh and his army was destroyed, they knew that their days of suffering were behind them, and they were free. Notice the tie-in. That there were 7 plagues, that there were 10 plagues sent. Just in the time of the tribulation, there are plagues released on the earth. Just as the Pharaoh, who refused to let Israel go and declared himself as God, knowing that in the day of the tribulation time, the Antichrist will making all the nations worship him and declare that he is God until that final act of redemption, judgment comes on God, a God on him. And the song of deliverance is the same. That the song of Moses is deliverance from our suffering, and we rejoice in that. But it says that we will also sing the song of the Lamb. And the song of the Lamb is the song of deliverance from our sin. That the Lamb of God who died to set us free from the slavery of our sin. And someday when we stand before the Lord, and even now, praising him for his deliverance for you. Those times when he's delivered you in those hard times in your life. Those times of a trial or a hard experience that you were going through. A time of intense suffering. Maybe it was emotional. Maybe it was spiritual. Maybe it was physical. But the Lord delivered you through that. And didn't that bring a song of praise in your heart? Didn't that give you reason to rejoice? And then that deliverance from our sin. When he set us free from the captivity of our sin. And set us free in Christ. And that gives us a song of praise. Both songs resonate and are the response of grateful hearts towards celebrating God's deliverance. And if God has delivered you, God has done something good in your life. He's worthy of our praise and acknowledging that. Have you ever had in your life where someone has done something good for you? Or you've been through a hard time, and maybe you had an illness, and it was pretty bad. You went to the doctor, and the doctor came up with this kind of treatment that might have been new or something you hadn't heard of, and he recommends it to you. He or she recommends it to you, and you try it, and it cured your problem. And then you said, oh, that made me good. I want to let everybody else know, and I want to spread the word about it. About a month or so ago, several weeks ago, I was suffering from really bad ear pain down the side of my face. And it was for a couple of days. I went to my doctor and I called him and I thought it was an ear infection. He checked me out. He said, no, you're fine. He said, your eustachian tubes are clear. But he said, let me recommend something to you. Instead of trying medicine, let me recommend that you do the silence wrench thing. So he did. And I tried it. And after 2 days, it cleared it up. You know, and if anybody else has a problem, I said, you know, that's a good thing. Try that. And that's what it should be in our life. When we've experienced what Christ has done for us and how he's delivered us, how he's changed us, how he's set us free and brought us safely through the sea. Isn't that something to share with others? Isn't that something to praise him for? And to let people know how we have been delivered? And to share that with others as well. The song of the Lamb for deliverance has come. God will also be praised because he is just and true. It says here as they sing the song as we go back to Revelation chapter 15. That part of the wording in the song of the Lamb is that great and mighty are your deeds, for just and true are your ways, and that God is just, and he is true in all that he does, and he is worthy of being praised for that. And even as he pours out his wrath on the earth during the time of the tribulation years, God is just in doing it. Abraham asked God, as God came to him, and told him that he was going to pour out his wrath on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for their sin. Because of their perversion had reached him, and he was ready to send fire and brimstone to judge them. And Abraham interceded on their behalf and said, will you destroy the city for 50 and then for 40 and then 30? He kept going down. But then he asked God a question. He said, will not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer to that question is, of course. And yes, he will. And even in his time, when he allows hardship to come into our life, even at times when he pours judgment on the earth, it's to display his justice and his goodness. And at the end, the saints praising God, for even as the judgment is being poured on earth, they realize that God is just and true. And we can praise him because he is just and true in all that he does for us and who he is. That's his nature. He can't be anything other than that. Because he is God. And he alone is holy. It says here, who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy, in verse 4. He alone is holy and stands holy and separate, completely separate from us and all of his creation, distinct from us. For he alone is God. He is also praised because it says all nations will bow before him. He said, all nations will come and worship you. John sees the day, and the saints are praising God here for the day that all nations, all people will come and acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. Looking forward to the day of the 1,000 years of the millennial reign, which we'll yet to see when we get to that part of Revelation in a couple weeks. But when all nations will bow before Christ. During the days of the series of the 7-year tribulation, the Antichrist compelled by force all nations to bow before him. And if they didn't bow before him, they were killed. They were compelled by force to bow the knee. You remember during the time of Babylon, when the Israelites were taken into captivity, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar built a big idol to his name. And remember, they sounded the trumpet. Everybody were compelled to bow before that statue or be thrown into the fiery furnace. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego stood alone, and they refused to bow the knee. Satan and his forces try to compel by force worship. But John sees the day here that all nations will willingly bow before Christ and acknowledge him. And in the day when he sets up his kingdom and reigns for that 1,000 years, all nations will come. And a day is coming when the nations will willingly and acknowledge that Christ is Lord. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. And Isaiah sees a vision of this in his prophecy in that end day, in the time of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Isaiah sees it prophesied. And he says here in verse 10, in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the nations, for the peoples, and the nations will rally to him, and the place of rest will be glorious. And verse 9 says, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's Isaiah, the Lord showing him what's going to happen in those days in the 1,000 years when Jesus reigns. But all nations will someday bow before Christ. All the world will acknowledge him as Lord. That hasn't occurred yet. We're still living in the tunnel. But someday, when we come out of the end, into that time of glorious millennial reign of Christ, the light of Christ will dawn, and all nations will bow before him. But he's worthy of being praised. He's also to be praised because his righteous acts have been revealed. It says here again back in 15, verse 4, that all nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. In contrast to the wicked acts of the evil one or the Antichrist. And during the years of the 7-year tribulation, we saw how the evil acts of Satan were revealed. Even now in our day, we see many evil acts revealed, don't we? And we know where the source of those evil acts come from. And the evil acts of all those that bring terror and hardship and destruction and fear come from the evil one himself. But the Lord has revealed his righteous act through Jesus on the cross and someday when he comes again. But through Christ, we see the righteousness of God revealed. And he is worthy of praise as we look to Christ and see his glory and how he has revealed to us his righteousness and how that righteousness covers us through faith in Jesus. We can have hope. Because in that final day, God's wrath will be finished. God's name will be praised. But third, God's glory will be revealed. And it will be made known and all will see it. This chapter ends in verses 5 through 10, through 8. As John sees into the temple of God's glory in heaven. And we were told that as God instructed Moses how to build the tabernacle on earth in the wilderness, that it was a copy, and God had given him the pattern exactly how to build it because it was a copy of God's temple in heaven, where his throne room, where he rules and where he reigns from. And John here sees the temple in heaven. He says, I looked and saw in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, reminded tabernacle of the testimony, because in the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was where in the Ark of the Covenant, Moses was instructed to keep the copy of the testimony or the Ten Commandments in that ark that had been given to him by God. And now John sees that opened and the glory of God revealed. And what it shows to us is that God's glory will be revealed because his presence is clearly seen, just as it was in the Old Testament. In the tabernacle, God's presence dwelt over it, but what was called the Shekinah glory, through a pillar of fire, and God's presence dwelt over that holiest place, that through the cloud and the fire, people could see and realize that God's presence was among them. When Jesus came, it says that John, that Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling, or the other word is tabernacled, among us. So that we could see his glory, the full glory of God, the one and only, lived out and visualized for us every day. John sees the tabernacle open and the Holy of Holies where God's presence dwelt. And that Jesus has made and revealed to us the glory of God. And God's glory is clearly seen, and his presence is clearly with us through Christ, who, as we know, when he was born, said we call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so when we've seen Christ, Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the full glory of God rests in him. But as John sees this tabernacle in heaven open, out of it, the seven angels come from God's presence, the most holy place, to bring his final judgment unleashed on the earth to complete all things. But his presence is clearly seen, and God's glory is also seen because he responds to the prayers of his saints. And that's another way God reveals his glory. He's revealed his glory through Christ. He also reveals his glory through the response to our prayers, And you say, well, how do you get that? Well, let's look what happens here in the story. In verses 6 and 7, it said, out of the temple, or out of the most holy place, came the seven angels with the seven last bowls or trumpets, and they were dressed in clean white linen, wearing golden sashes. Then one of the four living creatures, there's the picture of it, gave each of the angels golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, which they were going to pour out on the earth in the final judgment. There was only one other time in the New Testament where you see golden bowls mentioned. Remember where it was. Turn with me. And we've seen it earlier in our study of Revelation, chapter 5. Go back to chapter 5. And you'll see this again. And you'll see the point of what the Lord was revealing to John and to us. John chapter 5, verse 8. Said 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense that the 24 elders were holding, which were the what? Prayers of the saints. So as our prayers go up to heaven, they're being collected in the golden bowls before the Father, and they're being taken before Him. And what John sees here is now that those golden bowls, same golden bowls which were the prayers of the saints, are now being filled with the wrath of God. What's that saying? That the saints were praying for, we saw in Revelation 8, how long will it be, Lord, until you come and make things right? How long will it be until you avenge? How long will it be until you set things right? And we cry out to the Lord, how long will it be? How long do I have to endure this? How long will it be till I get through this tunnel? How long will it be till this passes? You ever had that feeling, Lord? How long will it be? How much more? How much more do I have to take? And we cry out to the Lord with that. But we get to chapter 15, and those same golden bowls are now filled with the wrath of God, which He gives to the angels to pour out. And the point is that He transformed the prayers of the saints into judgment of God in a time of rejoicing. That God responds to the prayers of His people. And when He does, and when He answers a prayer that has been given, lifted up to Him, and He responds to that, does that not reveal His glory? When He responds and answers a prayer, and it's clearly evident that we know that God responded to a prayer that we've lifted up to Him, and we've seen the response, and we've seen the answer, that brings glory to God, and His glory is clearly seen and displayed through that. And we can rejoice, and that's what John is seeing here in this vision. And God's glory will also be revealed because His holiness is overwhelming. Verse 8 says that the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from its power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven last plagues of the seven angels were completed. Smoke, John saw smoke filling the whole temple, the tabernacle of God in heaven. And smoke in Scripture represented God's glory and His power. It represented God's holiness and His purity, showing that when God's holiness is pure and overwhelming, and it filled the entire tabernacle, that no one could enter it until the judgment was complete. Because smoke leaves an effect. Let me illustrate it this way. I like to make campfires, and in the summertime, I haven't done one yet, but I like to go out in the backyard, and we have a fire pit, and build a fire and make s'mores and hot dogs, and I love to sit around the fire just relaxing. Even in summer, if you're camping, have a campfire. It's a great time of fellowship or a camp. But I love to sit there and watch the fire. But you know, you don't like the smoke getting in your eyes. Oftentimes you move and the smoke seems to follow you. But if you sit around the fire for a while, you can put the fire out, but smell your clothes. Do you ever smell your clothes? That smell of the fire is still there. And I love that smell. I love the smell of a wood fire. And you can smell that smoke in your clothes. Why? Because the smoke leaves an effect. And when the Holy Spirit fills us, and God's glory fills us, it should leave an effect on our life. That when we're filled with the smoke of the Holy Spirit, and He fills our temple, God's temple today is us, right? And when His glory fills us and consumes us, it should leave an effect. The people can smell the smoke. They can see Jesus. Our lives are changed. It leaves a lingering effect on our life through the power of God. And His glory is revealed through you and me. Through the smoke filling the temple, filling us in our lives daily. As we are the temple of God, and His holiness overwhelms us when we see Him for who He is. His greatness and His glory. The seven angels coming out of the holy place here represent that God is executing His judgment because He is holy. And because He would not be just and He would not be true if He did not judge sin. If God let sin unpunished, He wouldn't be just and He wouldn't be true. He wouldn't be holy. You who are parents and grandparents, when you see your children doing something that you know is harmful to them and you don't discipline them because you don't want to hurt them, and so you don't discipline, do you really love them then? You show your love by discipline, right? You show your love by bringing corrective action. And God is just in His judgment, and He's true when He must. So John sees a day when everything will be completed. As we get into chapter 16 next week, we'll see those bowls, those final judgments ready to be unleashed, and we'll be looking at them and what will occur in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation time. But until that time, as we're living on this side of the rapture, as we're living on this side of eternity, as we're still driving through that tunnel, have hope, because the pain does and will end. The darkness will pass. The sorrow will be over. The light at the end of the tunnel will dawn. Jesus will return. Everything will be made right. And we will reign with Him forever. His glory, God's wrath will be finished. His name will be praised for all eternity. And His glory will be revealed. And that's a reason to have hope. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that there is coming a day when all will be made right. That, Lord, we're living in that time right now where in the darkness, in the tunnel, we wish there could be an escape. We wish the end could, we could see that light, and there is light at the end. You are coming. You've given us a glimpse of that this morning in Your word. But Father, we thank You that You are with us. And Your glory, You are present, and Your glory is praised and worthy. And Lord, we give You glory now because we sing the song of Moses, the song of deliverance, that You have set us free. And the song of the Lamb, that we are delivered from our sin. And Lord, that we have redemption. And we can praise You for ways in which You've delivered us and set us free even now. But we know that final day of deliverance is coming. When all the enemies, all Your enemies will be defeated. When all sin will be destroyed. So Lord, may we keep our eyes focused on You. Praising You, serving You, walking with You, that Your glory would be revealed in us even now as You have filled Your temple, us, with Your glory, that it leaves a lasting effect, that people around us would see You in us. Lord, may our lives be a testimony of Your greatness, of Your glory, and of Your love. Running the race with perseverance that is marked out for us until the day You call us home. Or until the trumpet sounds and You catch us up to be with You, which will be a glorious day. Until that time, we have hope. We can hang on because the pain will end and all things will be made right when your light and your glory dawns. So thank you for that hope and the coming of salvation and the promise through Jesus and your return. And we praise you because you reign, you are worthy, and you are on the throne. And we give you glory through Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.